Affiliates, Head On with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates, Head On with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Come up yawning more like. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Still trying to flush all the tryptophan out of my system. That is, maybe the line from Wizard of Oz ought to be, turkeys will make them sleep. Screw the poppies, that turkey wiped me out. And just as well, I was coherent all the way through the end of the WVU Pitt game. Let's go. Timeout. Back up. Let's go, Mountaineers! Okay, we're better now. That was an impressive display last night in 8-degree wind chill weather in beautiful, beautiful Morgantown, West Virginia. Now all we got to do is do it one more time against South Florida, and we get a trip to, it's looking likely the Sugar Bowl. But enough of all that. I can't help being a fan, but, I'm glad to have you guys on board this evening. It's always a privilege to have you spend your time with us. But I got to tell you, here in the wild, wonderful hills, we got rather of a grim Thanksgiving present with the arrival of the paper yesterday morning in the form of a ruling from the hateful, vicious, godless, motherless conservatives on the 4th U.S. Court of Appeals in Richmond, because they decided, those old, godless, soulless men, they actually decided that blowing the entire tops off of hundreds and thousands of acres of mountains, they decided that doing that and dumping all the debris down into the valleys and filling up the little rivulets and streams that make up the tributaries of the Kanawha and the Ohio rivers, they decided that doing that has, and I quote, minimal environmental impact. Minimal. It's just minimal. And how did they make that determination? Well, they looked at the Army Corps of Engineers documents. And the Army Corps of Engineers had decided that it had minimal environmental impact. Now, how did the Army Corps of Engineers make that decision? Well, the Army Corps of Engineers sat down, took out their trusty old-timer pocket knife, whittled themselves up a pencil, and wrote down on a sheet of paper, "This Massey Mountaintop Removal Permit application causes minimal environmental impact." That's how they made that decision. Dirty, rotten, soulless, scum-sucking, good-for-nothing, filthy, black-robed... You'd just like for those three judges to come and live in the middle of maybe the Kayford Mountain moonscape. Sorry, no roads, no helicopters, And by the way, you got to grow your own food. Let's see how minimal that and no bottled water, buddies. Uh-uh. You got to get your own water from nearby. Only thing nearby is, I don't guess you could say it's got any proof to it. Well, yeah, I mean, we know what it is. It's coal filth, coal sludge. Toxic goo. And there's plenty of that. Drink up, boys! Maybe you can have Don Blankenship over and you can all play toxic sludge quarter bounce. Or toxic sludge fuzzy duck. There's a fun one for you. So I gotta admit, that took a little bit of the starch out of Thanksgiving for me. Because that decision clears the way to turning an area of West Virginia and eastern Kentucky and southwest Virginia and portions of Tennessee, that clears the way to turning that entire area, an area the size of the state of Delaware, into a barren, sterile moonscape that will not grow anything, that will not support life for thousands of years. Nothing but scrub grass. Even a buzzard flying across will have to pack a lunch. Thanks, you hateful old bastards. So we got that, and, you know, I tried to be all positive and upbeat the night before Thanksgiving. You know, no slaughter of the Indian stories. No, not going to do any of that. But after we get this happy little bit of news from the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, it put me in the mind of something else. A little something going back to 1986 from a great man of American letters, William S. Burroughs.
For John Dillinger, in hope, he is still alive. Thanksgiving Day, November 28th, 1986. Thanks for the wild turkey and passenger pigeons destined to be dished out through wholesome American guts. Thanks for a continent to despoil and poison. Thanks for Indians to provide a modicum of challenge and danger. Thanks for vast herds of bison to kill and skin, leaving the carcasses to rot. Thanks for bounties on wolves and coyotes. Thanks for the American dream to vulgarize and falsify until the bare lies shine through. Thanks for the KKK. For killing lawmen, feeding their notches. For decent church-going women with their mean, pinched, bitter, evil faces. Thanks for kill a queer for Christ stickers. Thanks for laboratory AIDS. Thanks for prohibition and the war against drugs. Thanks for a country where nobody is allowed to mind his own business. Thanks for a nation of finks. Yes, thanks for all the memories. All right, let's see your arms. You always were a headache, and you always were a bore. Thanks for the last and greatest betrayal of the last and greatest of human dreams.
Yeah. So, members of the 4th United States Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, and your little pal from North Carolina sitting by special designation. Thanks for nothing. Screw you. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 Twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, 18 minutes after the hour. This is Head On for a Friday night after Thanksgiving. And it's understandable if you're still completely wiped out with Thanksgiving dinner. Let's see, what was for lunch today? Today it was fried mashed potato cakes, reheated dressing, gravy, and reheated turkey. It was dinner, too, truth be told, because I was feeling a little lazy after yesterday. And next, tomorrow morning, we start the turkey salad and the turkey carcass soup. I know, sounds gross, but, you know, you take all that stuff that you can't pick clean off the bird, throw him in a pot, some celery, some carrots, some potatoes, a couple of bay leaves, a little of this, a little of that. And I use lentils. Makes a darn fine soup. And it thickens nicely. We're in Turkeyville for a while. But, once a year, that's okay. Now, we've got a new friend on board. And I want to make a point of saying hello. We've got a new friend, Linda, in Massachusetts. Linda writes, I've started listening to you via the White Rose. Love your show and the music. It's such a hoot for me as a Massachusetts liberal to hear the folks from your neck of the woods talking, well, left. That's okay, Linda. We know you think we talk funny. That's, and but then again, you've never heard us, you know, listening to you guys. Yeah, of course. Of course, we know there that the Clavens are the true heir of the Romanov dynasty because we've got an extra molar back there. I play. If you listen, she says, if you listen to the mass media, we're made to believe that our little state of Massachusetts has no compadres in the rest of the nation. Listening to your show gives me hope that maybe we'll be able to climb out of the national tragedy sooner rather than later. Keep hope alive. Linda, we're going to do our best, and I hope we'll hear from you again soon, maybe even a phone call someday. But you make a very good point. And that is, you know, and that's why from time to time we refer to this as radio for the rest of us. We radio for the real majority, radio for normal people. Because that's what this is all about. Approaching issues not from Bill O'Reilly's War on the War on the War on the War on Christmas, or from Flush Flimball's standpoint of John Murtha is a useful idiot, or Sean Hannity Jobs' approach that George W. Bush is the second coming of Christ. Just working people's issues, working people's approach to things with a little side dish of giving a damn about somebody besides ourselves. And a soupçon of caring about the future of this nation. See how the cooking metaphor carries through? Work it, Bob, work it. But it is very true that, whether it's Florida or Tennessee or Alabama, Georgia, the red states, and you know, West Virginia, you know, we're mostly kind of purple, but we're a little pink tinged thanks to those two IQ tests we failed in 2004 voting for George Bush. But it would appear that this is completely unscientific, just talking to people that, you know, in the grocery store lines, in the convenience stores filling up with gas and stuff, where a year ago if you'd said, you know, George W. Bush is the syphilitic son of a sea cook, you would have been looked at, and several people would have said, you're un-American. You don't like Jesus because you don't like George. That attitude has dropped off precipitously, and the number of W, the president, stickers on the backs of SUVs have gone way down, even here. So we're gonna be here. We're gonna be here for normal people to talk about normal people issues, for smart people to talk about smart people issues, for people to talk about the things that really matter in this world and point out the stupidities of the Republican right. Because they're not normal. They're anything but normal. I mean, these people. America, everybody'd be fully employed if only we had the Ten Commandments painted on every public building. If only you had to look at the Ten Commandments every time you walked into Walmart, my goodness gracious, this country would be on the fast tracks to paradise and frisbees and wheat checks for everybody. You know, of course, it doesn't work that way. But the isolation, and it's the isolation of normal people, especially in the so-called red states. Texas comes to mind. Mississippi. You know, we've got normal listeners in Mississippi. We've got normal listeners in Texas. Normal listeners in Nebraska, Oklahoma, New Mexico, California, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York. We're spanning the country one person per state per time. But the especially the red states, That is where normal people have been ghettoized. And they've been ghettoized with the aid of the churches, the religion industry churches. I'm not talking about the churches where the normal people go. You remember that story from, about a little less than a year ago, maybe 6-9 months ago, where the pastor at that Baptist church in North Carolina excommunicated his non-Bush voting members? There has been a real and honest attempt to ghettoize normal people in the red states. And this is a way of resisting that. If you're in one of those red states, tell a normal friend. Tell a normal friend about the show. We'll have fun. And pretty soon it turns into one of those hairspray commercials. I told two friends and they told two friends, and the next thing you know, we're up to our armpits in hairspray. But you get the idea. Don't let yourself be ghettoized. We won't let ourselves here be ghettoized. Because once they establish the ghetto and get everybody in it, it's much more easy for them to consolidate control. But we refuse the ghettoization of the normal. We refuse to let the religion industry and their corporatist cronies make us their willing serfs. And we do that by talking loud, by talking frequently, and by generally being intellectual refuseniks. We refuse to believe that Adam and Eve rode to church on the back of a dinosaur. We refuse to believe that it's okay to kill 100,000 civilians because Saddam was a bad man. We generally reject the two wrongs make a right attitude of the Republicans. And by sharing our voices and spreading our voices, we will win. Because among other things, I noticed a posting over at Democratic Underground by our pal Ben Birch, who manages the stream and the archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. He says we've got to constantly equate what the Republicans do with failure and keep it simple. And he's right. It goes hand in hand with the fact that we have pointed out all along that George W. Bush is the biggest screw-up ever to find his way to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That honor used to belong to Warren Gamaliel Harding, but George has taken it in spades. Let's talk about this, if you want to, a little bit later as we go on in the evening. The phone number is 304-658-3333 or 877-443-3266. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. Email, of course, to Bob at headonradio.com. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, maybe a few more thoughts on pointing out the screw-ups and getting real normal. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. A little less than 27 minutes before the hour. This is Head On. A little dust up of the evening. A little place to get the bee out of your bonnet, the burr out from under your saddle, the weight off your chest. Or, you know, if you want to, just like Bruce Springsteen, you can fall on your knees on your head. I love Bruce Springsteen, but sometimes, you know, strap your hands, cross my engines. Sometimes he just gets going with the metaphor and it gets just a little bit too good. What I'm trying to figure out, I love that song, Downbound Train. I just love that song. But he says, I drop to my knees on my head. Now, either that really hurt, or he was getting ready to stand on his head when he was crying, which means, I guess, that the tears ran down across his forehead and into his hair. Instead of down his face. I think I'm over-intellectualizing it. But we were talking about getting normal and being the normal and being the real, the reality people, the people, you know, and that's what we are. You know, we've been divided for two election cycles by this cynical political strategy of trying to get one group of people to noisily hate the others. And it's been so largely successful that at times it makes me despair for the state of the American body politic. But you gotta go on. And the way we go on, in my humble opinion, is by being painfully, outrageously, exuberantly normal. Extra normal. We pay our bills, we go to work, we pay our bills, we take care of the kids, we do the best, but we feed them as best we can, and when we catch our government, you know, us, we the people, you and me, the government that belongs to us, when we catch them screwing up, we bust them for it. It was the Willie Stark character in All the King's Men who said, go ahead, send him to the state house, but if he doesn't do the job you want him to do, you give me that meat axe. And the voting booth is a form of meat axe, if, of course, we can trust the voting process. So, it remains to be seen in 2006, coming soon, well, they're already here, we get either touchscreen or optical scan voting devices here in West Virginia, and it should be a cause for alarm to every single individual who has ever enjoyed going to the ballot box or taken pride in voting. But all we've got to do is be normal and point out that the other side has betrayed us. Republican mommy, Republican daddy out there who voted for George Bush because you thought he was an upright man. Do you still think that? If you do, you're in a minority of less than 36% of the American people. If you believe that George Bush is an honest and an upright man, you are in a crowd of about the same size as those people who believe in flying saucers. You're in a crowd of roughly the same size people as those who, who believe in astrology. All right, New Agers, don't get mad at me. It's a minority held opinion. Okay? That's where Republican mommy and Republican daddy who still support George Bush are. That's where the Fox viewers are. That's where the readers of the Wall Street Journal editorial page are. Speaking of which, I guess it was yesterday's paper where they suggested, and this was a real eyes roll back in the head kind of claw at the air moment. The Wall Street Journal suggested down in New Orleans, as the recovery from Katrina proceeds, The Wall Street Journal suggested that they just not bother reopening the schools. Because the Wall Street Journal said, well, most of them are failing anyway, Muffy. Do you get the idea? The schools are broken, so... And you know what a Republican approach that is? The schools are having trouble, so don't try to fix the schools. Punish the children by closing them. But you've got to understand the ugly little undercurrent of racism that rolls through the Republican Party. You know, Strom Thurmond's Republican Party. Trent Lott's Republican Party. The ugly little undercurrent of racism that flows like a babbling brook of filth through a dark and hateful, fearsome cave. And that undercurrent is racist. And that undercurrent says, well, you know, why should we bother to educate those people? What do they need with the education, anywho? That's the heart and soul of the Republican Party. as it was noted in the election a few weeks back in Texas, where the Texas religion industry bought themselves a referendum on who can and cannot get married. The other side attempted but did not succeed on a large enough basis to oppose that ballot initiative by pointing out that that marriage amendment was supported by the KKK. The Klan came out and publicly supported that marriage amendment in Texas. And, of course, the Republican Party supported that amendment. And the Southern Baptists supported that amendment. You know, all the good right-wing religion industry establishments supported that amendment. Along with the KKK. And where conservative politics go, the Klan, the Aryan Nation, the militia movement, these hateful, freakish, bloodthirsty Minutemen down on the American border, they follow. Now, are those groups, the Klan, Aryan Nation, White Christian Nation, you know, pick a name, pick a hate group name. Are those people who are affiliated and gladly associate themselves with Republican priorities in politics, are those the normal people? Are they? Do they truly manifest American values? Do they exemplify the values of the mother and father who, by some miracle, have remained to remained married long enough to have a couple or three kids? The mom and dad who are working two jobs each and a half of one on the weekends just to keep the lights on and the gasoline and grocery bills paid? Do those right-wing fringe groups that are so readily and easily affiliated with the Republican Party, do they represent their values? Sadly enough, a couple of years ago, I would have told you that they did. You know, these were the idiots that were going to the Clear Channel Dixie Chick record-burning parties and standing with signs that said, "Get a clue, morons." But have the lights begun to go on? Are we busting out of the ghetto? Are we trying to make it better? Is it going to get better? I don't know. But I don't know. Maybe it's time for a new declaration. A new preamble. We the normal people of the United States. In order to form a more perfect union protected against the depredations of freepers and right-wingers and Wall Street journalers and religion industry nuts. Maybe that's the new preamble. I don't know. Let's take a break. And, oh, goodness, where will... Oh, well, okay, this will be fun. How about... Well, nah, I'll keep it for a surprise. This is Head On.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust.
dust mites. Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Cause mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
I love it when my president tells me to put food on my family. I just, you know, when he tells me to do that, I immediately, you know, we start having a food fight. So,
do you really?
Do you and your kids
start from like Twinkies and stuff at each other?
No, more like, you know, mashed potatoes and stuff.
Oh, right,
stuff
right.
Sticks,
pull on.
Sticks
oh, right
to the
on.
Wall, you know. And, but anyway, you know, and that should be a top story all by itself. You know? How did we elect such a moron?
We try to answer that and many more questions this week and last week on Fourth Estate Radio. I'm John Fox, one of your co-hosts. Bruce Birch will join me on Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, every week to try and strip the pants off the mainstream media. That's FourthEstateRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back. Yeah, about 12 and a half minutes before the hour. Thank God for this clock, or I'd have nothing to say when I come out of the breaks. Plug, though, for our buddies at Fourth Estate Radio. Tomorrow night is time for another show. I'm going to listen. I've tried it last week, liked it a lot, and I'll be there tomorrow night as well. Assuming that I can remember that tomorrow night is Saturday, because last night at about 11:30 I was cruising around NBC looking for Saturday Night Live. God only knows what I'll think Sunday is. This is the beginning of that season of not really sure what day it is. Got up this morning, the kids weren't watching. Well, yeah, they were watching cartoons. Cartoons are on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But yeah, that. But well, you know, it was night. It was, you get the idea. Oh, and a shout out to our buddies in the Tom Hartman chat room, as well as our friends at Democratic Underground. There's a link there on the main page for the show. So hello to all of you. Now, somewhere along the way, you got to get a giggle. If you don't laugh a little bit, some of this foolishness will drive you absolutely around the bend. I found my giggle earlier today from the pages of Home School Digest. Home School Digest, 2005, Volume 15, Number 5, pages 61 and 62 inclusive. an article by a fellow named James Bartlett called Why Not Bring Higher Education All the Way Home? You understand what they're getting at there. Of course you do. You're smart, you're liberal, you're progressive, you're democratic, you're normal! Last night, well, you know, you gotta use the right accent for this one. Last night, I was listening to a homeschooled young man defend his decision to attend a Christian college far from home. He essentially reasoned that to make a comfortable living, he would need to gain an accredited college degree and work at a major corporation for several years. Do you notice anything unpeculiar, Titus 2.14, 1 Peter 2.9, about the above thoughts? What effect will moving far away from home have on his family, extended family, children, and grandchildren? This is a kid leaving home, school, high school. He's 18. What's he doing with children? Sorry. What example does this set for his siblings? I don't know. To go out and get an education so that he won't be a useless drone on set. Never mind. Will he have the same level of accountability or be subject to greater temptations? Well, you know what happens in college. You know, those kids go away from home, and the next thing you know, they're blowing off physics class to go have sex. Of course, presumably, that's how little homeschool Johnny came into being in the first place. Why is it that so many Christian young people leave the faith while attending college? Why do Christian students leave good Christian colleges with a secular worldview? Well, maybe it's because for the first time in their life they get away from freaking fantasy land! What economic worldview do major corporations embody? Why have pastors gone to jail for not accepting accreditation for Christian education? Really, we're jailing the preachers now. Well, I'll be Jiminy. But they've gone to jail. Do the scriptures and spirit which motivate home education apply to high education and business? Could the homeschool experience redefine the college experience? Now, here's where it starts getting fun, because they start using the really cool buzzwords. To an increasing number of home-educating families, especially those who understand the Dominion mandate, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, nudge as good as a wink to a blind man, say no more, Dominion mandate, Genesis 1:28, Psalm 8:6. Look that up for us, would you there, Sister Agnes? These important questions are leading to creative old paths. What it gets around to, you know, it is well known that secular universities are openly hostile to the Christian worldview. What is that Christian worldview? I mean, me going back to the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Baptist church who taught me about, you know, don't take that kid's cookie, he's got a cookie, you get a cookie, you drink your drink, eat your cookie, you let it, and we're not going to let them take yours either. Be nice to the other people. Other people, be nice. Love thy neighbor. You know, all the good, soft, warm, squishy Jesus stuff. Well, that's not the Christian worldview that James Bartlett, who is ostensibly, oh, I don't know, D-Rev or something. Oh, yeah, there he is. James Bartlett, Ph.D., P.E.R.E.T., Executive Director of Biblical Concourse of Home Universities. They homeschool four boys in the Turtle Mountains of North Dakota. Turtles all the way down. I guess that doesn't fit in with their creation cosmogony, though. But you know that biblical worldview they're talking, that Christian worldview, the one where all we got to do is hang out long enough for Jesus to come back, then we're going to get to kill us some Jews. That Christian worldview. What he gets at in this article, he wants to create homeschool universities. Like I said, you got to get a giggle somewhere, and this guy is tonight's giggle. That's right, homeschool universities. Mommies and daddies, who have gotten all of their educational materials from freak organizations like this guy. Got my biology class out of the way there. Mommy told me to go read Genesis. Now I are a biologist. Got my physics requirement out of the way. I went and read that part of Revelations about rocks falling from the sky and fire falling and lakes of fire and all that. And there's my physics requirement. They're going to try to talk the knuckle walkers into keeping their kids out of college so that they can hawk yet another program of intellectually, educationally suspect information to yet another demographic. Oh, Lordy. These poor children. These poor, poor children. These poor, pitiful children. I mean, we all know what's going on. God put the dinosaur bones in the rocks as fossils to confound the unbelievers. You know that. It's just sad. Oh, well, what about the fern fossils in the roof of the roof of the coal mines? Well.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
That's what it's about. It's about keeping people in the home and around these evangelo-fascists as long as possible so that they can be further inbred with the bigotry that underlies every word that comes out of Dobson's and Falwell's and Robertson's and Kennedy's and all those other cretins' mouths.
You do realize not all homeschooled
children. Stop. I understand that. I'm talking about this guy, honey. He's religious-based homeschool. This guy wants to create homeschool universities. I can't wait to see the curriculum for, geology, that's going to be a real party. But what about the homeschool university curriculum for, say, mechanical engineering? Well, what you got to understand with mechanical engineering is don't you build any big buildings because we've already got the lesson of the Tower of Babel out there. Mechanical engineering class over. Thank you very much. You see how it works? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip? In a more daring life, a 56 convertible. A cereal box? Once your Sunday paper? It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Thank you. It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Nice little interlude there. What happens at the top of the hour? Well, I went and grabbed a beverage for myself. Fixed Agnes a cup of coffee. Everything that would happen in a normal radio station when you play either Stairway to Heaven or Freebird. Or on Thanksgiving, Alice's Restaurant. You know, I realized after we went off the air Wednesday night, I had been horribly remiss in not playing Alice's Restaurant. It's like getting through Christmas without seeing, It's a Wonderful Life, or The Grinch, or my personal favorite, Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. Now, I guess some clarification is in order. I'm not wholeheartedly opposed to homeschooling. I am opposed to homeschooling where it is used as an excuse to defeat education. Now, I had a friend some years ago who brilliant woman, and her husband as well. They homeschooled their kids because the high school in that particular county was for caca. It was nothing in the way of an education. So instead, these two very, very well-educated, postgraduate degreed individuals homeschooled their children, and their children, when the kids who went to the homes went to the high school in that particular county were shuffling off to the majority not even going to college, this couple's children went to Harvard on scholarships. So no, I'm not wholeheartedly opposed to homeschooling, but I am opposed to it when you're trying to keep your kid from having to learn that dirty, evil, demon-possessed biology. That I'm opposed to. But, you know, I'm opposed to it philosophically, not politically. I'm opposed to it for the sake of the kids. Where have we heard that before? I'm opposed to it when you're basically taking the knees out from under an impressionable youngster in order to beat them to death with your personal religious ideology so that they will never have a chance in life unless they become, a preacher. But again, not politically, philosophically. Because frankly, as much as I hate it, doing a child that way, one does have that right under the First Amendment. And that right is, the First Amendment is the single most, where religion is concerned, not necessarily journalism or freedom of assembly, God knows, but where religion is concerned, the First Amendment is the most jealously guarded amendment in the country. One wishes we felt about the Fourth Amendment the way we do about the First. This would be a considerably freer country. One wishes we felt about the right to trial by jury the same way we feel about the religious clause of the First Amendment. This would be a considerably freer country. If we felt about the right to confront one's accusers and have a speedy trial the way we feel about the religious element of the First Amendment, we wouldn't be hearing that Jose Padilla had rotted for 3.5 years in a federal prison without access to family, friends, or lawyer. Because someone who cared as much about those amendments as, James Dobson cares about the First Amendment would have been raising a ruckus and had thousands of people raising a ruckus in the streets. Because, again, it's not about Jose Padilla. It's about you, and it's about me. And it's about what happens when the knock comes in the night and they just take someone away for what amount to thought crimes. Now, the Jose Padilla case, another development along those lines that's worth mentioning. We asked the question, I guess it was Wednesday night, why is it that Jose Padilla was not charged with being the dirty bomber? Remember, and I've mentioned this before, John terrified of Calico Cat's Ashcroft. John anoints himself with cheap grocery store Crisco oil Ashcroft. John puts the drapes over the demonic nudie aluminum Art Deco statues in the Department of Justice. Ashcroft, that John Ashcroft. Remember, he called a press conference, for heaven's sakes, and all of the networks broke away, and Fox was right Johnny on the spot. And we have caught a, praise Jesus, we have caught a dirty bomber. Remember that? He was going to detonate a dirty bomb, a nuclear device in an American city. Remember that? Sure. And we wondered Wednesday why it was that Jose Padilla wasn't charged with being a dirty bomber. Well, we know now. We know. The Bush administration decided not to charge Jose Padilla with planning to detonate a radioactive dirty bomb in a U.S. city because, wait for it, because the evidence against him was extracted using torture. That information was a torture product, and it was therefore inherently untrustworthy. You know, for all those people out there who say, well, a little bit of torture might do us some good. You know, if we could have just tortured Mohammed Atta, we might have found it. You know, we knew everything we needed to know about Mohammed Atta. The FBI was up to its neck in information about young, disaffected Muslim men learning to fly airplanes who didn't care about learning how to land them. Ding, 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 ding. Should have set off an alarm somewhere, didn't. Why? Because the Bush administration was worried about building a new Star Wars program and getting its tax cuts out. That's why. So, Jose Padilla, the information that might have convicted Jose Padilla was obtained by torture. And is therefore garbage information because it is inherently unreliable, inherently untrustworthy. I don't know whether Jose Padilla was in fact plotting to detonate a dirty bomb. I don't know that. I'll never know that now because the screw-ups, and we return now to pointing out what the failures, the screw-ups, the unmitigated, Keystone cops of terrorism, the Bush administration, couldn't seem to gather the evidence without engaging in a little bit of playful, you know, what did Rush Limbaugh say? Oh, it's just a fraternity prank. A little bit of torture. What a bunch of misbegotten screw-ups. Another Republican failure. Arf. Another Republican failure. Arf. Who let the dogs out, indeed? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Backing up to our homeschooling university story. Ben writes us, says, I can't wait to see him try to get their cadaver for their home, for their religious homeschool medical courses. Of course, you know, they might... then again, that's terrifying. Next thing you know, the cadaver will be, they'll be laying hands and healing the cadaver, and the cadaver will be handling snakes. Oh, jeebus. But equally funny is Christian Homeschool Law University, where all they've got is the Ten Commandments. That's it. Funny how there's nothing in the Ten Commandments about rape. Well, then there aren't any rape statutes. Funny how in the Ten Commandments there aren't any things about child abuse. Well, then child abuse is okay, too. It's not in the Ten Commandments, therefore God doesn't mind. Well, wait a minute. Somewhere in Deuteronomy or Leviticus, there is something about stoning disobedient children, if I recall. You know, I'm thinking I don't want a home university lawyer or a doctor. Then again, what if you had home university medical malpractice, and you were and you had a home university lawyer? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, well, no, there's not going to be a jury either, because there's no juries in the Ten Commandments. Just stone the doctor, whatever. No, getting back on track, and I do love getting on track because it's so much fun. I prefer a more horizontal conversation than vertical. No, the dirty-minded people can just stop what they were about to do, about what they were about to say. The Jose Padilla matter. Padilla had been imprisoned and had asked for a lawyer. But since he was declared a enemy combatant by Dear Leader, he was refused a lawyer. An American citizen refused the very most basic rights afforded to one charged with crime, even being a dirty bomber. You see. And the Justice Department, now this is from a story in the New York Times. The Justice Department officials spoke to the Times after Attorney General Alberto R. Torquemada Gonzalez said he wouldn't talk about anything that was outside the scope of the indictment, which means he didn't want to publicly humiliate himself in such a big case. But it turns out unnamed sources said that the government had not brought criminal charges related to the most serious accusations against Padilla. Noted that they couldn't do it because any statements that Padilla made after requesting a lawyer and being refused one would be inadmissible in court. I see, he's just getting off on one of them technicalities. You know, when you listen to the right, you think that maybe that homeschool university thing's already in place and we're just finding out about it. You can't torture information out of somebody because the law recognizes, you know, going all the way back to when torture was in vogue in merry old England, you know, Court of Star Chamber. When they just got together and decided you were guilty without even letting you know you were being charged? Which is basically the military tribunals and what happened to Jose Padilla. But way, 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 way back then, judges and lawyers agreed that torturing information out of somebody led to information that you couldn't count on. You couldn't even trust it to be real. I mean, you know, if I got out the jumper cables and the old diehard battery and hooked it up to the most diehard freeper right wing nut freak out there, very short time I could have him swearing that he'd been voting Democrat all his life. Because you will say anything to make the pain stop. It becomes a guessing game between the torturer and the torturee. You know, what is it you want to know? I'm that. And I don't understand why that's so hard to come by. Torture information is inherently untrustworthy. You can wind up, if you rely on torture information, you can wind up hurting more people than you might save. There's a great scene in the John Sayles movie, Matewan. Remember this, Agnes? A little boy is being tortured by a couple of coal company thugs. And they're telling him to give up. They're torturing him into giving up the names of the union members. And he gives them some names, and they grab him by the hair, and they draw that straight razor around from ear to ear. And kick his dead ass down the mountainside. And that's and after that, one character looks at the other and says, "All right, let's go round up those men." The other one says, "We can't. They're all dead." Information gleaned from torture is inherently untrustworthy. What would you say? I mean, my God, this kid that got convicted in the federal kangaroo court in Virginia the other day for saying that he hated George Bush's guts and wanted bad things to happen to him. These statements, you know, he didn't even make, and you know, he didn't even make these statements to American torturers. He made them to Saudi torturers. And you know what, you can very well imagine what it's like in a Saudi torture chamber, can't you? Anybody here ever seen Midnight Express? I know it's an old movie, but still. You got the electrode strapped onto the genitals, you got the old diehard out. and you look very calmly at the young man and say, "Tell me you want to kill the president." And he says nothing, and you just clip that little terminal on, let a little juice go through the privates, pull them off. "Tell me again. Tell me. You know you want to." And he's silent. And the clip goes back onto the terminal, and a little more current runs through, and he screams, and he sweats. And I take it off and say, "Tell me now." For 20 months that went on, and that young man, an American citizen. I don't know, you don't know, and we don't know whether that man ever wanted to kill the president. And thanks to what was done to him by our allies, the Saudis, we will never know. Kid was a straight-A student. Went to Saudi Arabia to learn, to study Islam. My God, I wish he'd gone to Paris to study painting, or Paris to study cooking, or Italy to study sculpture. Or... But anyway, once he was over there, he was picked up by the Wahhabi secret police, and for 20 months. They tortured him. "Just say it, boy, and the pain will end. Just say it, boy, and the pain will stop. You can end the pain, boy. End it. Tell us what we want to hear." And that's torture. And apparently, we're fond of it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers, and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh?
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. You may be surprised to hear this, but I'm a big fan of opening up markets. I believe that we live in a global economy and that we're witnessing the beginnings of what will eventually become a single global political entity, a new world order, you might say. The question for me has always been, what form will that entity take? If things continue as they have been, it'll be a global economy ruled by a combination of corporate interests and oppressive governments who will work together to keep one group of people in poverty while the other prospers. In other words, business as usual. That's not what I want, and that's not what I believe any of you want either. The Democratic Party has been talking a lot about the vision thing lately, and while that's all well and good, what I hear is still mainly concerned with how to improve things for Americans. As patriotic as this is, it ignores the reality that the global economy is far more interdependent today than it was a half century ago. What was good for America, it turned out, was not so good for many other places, especially if those places had something we needed to maintain our lifestyles, like oil. If the Democrats want a vision, they need to start thinking outside of the borders and lead the way to the kind of global society that works for everyone, not just for the few at the top. I don't doubt it'll be a difficult task, one that'll take decades, if not centuries, to accomplish, but hey, we've got to begin somewhere. As the old saying goes, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Welcome back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number is, of course, 877-443-2366. That's 877, the number 4, Head On, and 304-658-3333. Bob at headonradio.com is the other means of communication. We check our email with real regularity. Great one-liner from David Letterman. Saw it over at bartcop.com. Beautiful. Just gorgeous. Letterman remarked, you know, with Thanksgiving coming up, some people roast their turkeys. Some people smoke their turkeys. Some people even deep fry their turkeys. Dick Cheney is having his turkey tortured by the CIA. Ba-dum-bum. That's why Letterman's where he is and I'm where I am. He's better at it. Seriously, though, in case you were wondering about the whereabouts of our dear not-quite-leader, big-time Dick Cheney, and just in case you were you had, as you know, as a decent person, a normal person, a liberal, progressive, a Democrat, just in case you had some turkey tryptophan-induced notion that maybe with all the sleaze and corruption that's beginning to ooze out of the Bush administration like fluids leaking out of a corpse. Just in case you were thinking that, you were wrong. From the Associated Press, a campaign fundraiser for embattled Representative Tom DeLay, postponed by Hurricane Rita in September, is being rescheduled for December 5th with Vice President Dick Cheney as the headliner. This ought to be fun. Quote, it points out that the party is behind DeLay and the Bush administration is supportive and wants to keep Congressman DeLay in office. Eric Thode, or Chode, I'm not sure, Republican chairman in DeLay's home county of Fort Bend, told the Houston Chronicle in a story published Tuesday. The most expensive tickets for the event, $4,200, includes a spot at a VIP reception and a photograph with the vice president. Now, see, that's a big old fraud because we know that he doesn't really show up on film. He can't see his reflection in mirrors either. $4,200 to eat rubber chicken with Dick Cheney. $4,200 to eat rubber chicken with a man who thinks torture is okay. $4,200 for a man for dinner with a man who thinks that criticizing the use of white phosphorus on civilians in Fallujah is reprehensible. $4,200 to sit down and break bread with a mass murderer. And you know what? They'll sell out. Some would say they sold out long ago, but that's not what I'm talking about. They will sell out. There will not be a ticket available. Between the corporatists and the old buddies of Jack Abramoff, still amazes me you can do that to Abram, and the religious fundies that support delay, you will not be able to get near the place. They will be turning people away from this glorious outing with our glorious, almost dear, almost leader. 4,200 dollars a ticket. It makes me want to be... never mind. 4,200 dollars. For a dinner that's going to cost maybe $8.95 to produce, if that much. Yes, dear.
We've got the idea, $4,200, but who wants to have dinner with... But who wants to have dinner with Gollum? I mean, seriously.
Who wants to have dinner with Satan? The point is wondering what might happen. What might that $4,200 do? And they're giving it to Tom DeLay's campaign because he is in such desperate straits in Sugarland, Texas, that he might well not be reelected. Or is it for his? Or is it for his criminal defense fund? You got to remember, his fair-haired boy, Michael Scanlon, entered a guilty plea the other day as the result of a filing of an information in federal court. Now, you don't plead to an information unless you've already made a deal. If you haven't made a deal, they just indict you. Like what they did with DeLay. And like what they did with Ice Scooter Libby. You know, G. Gordon Libby. If you've made a deal, however, they let you plead to an indictment, or plead to an information. So you got to think maybe Scanlon might be rolling on not just Jack Abramoff? Might Scanlon be rolling on Tom DeLay? Might Tom DeLay need those $4,200 a pop tickets? But what makes me sick out of all of this? What makes me really sick out of all of this is that these people still like to call themselves compassionate conservatives. Now, FEMA fell down on the job in Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama. And yet, $4,200. Well, Republicans have that to go see a walking corpse like Dick Cheney and a greasy-headed political punk like Tom DeLay, but they don't have, you know, and this is the Christmas season. These are the people who are better than us. They got $4,200 for Tom DeLay, but they don't have $4,200 for the Salvation Army. These are the same people who are calling Target and raising hell over Salvation Army jingle baskets not being out front. These are the same people who are watching O'Reilly talk about the war on Christmas. These are the people who think that Christianity is under assault because people are saying Happy Holidays. And yet, in a nation where we've just cut, $700 million from the food stamp budget, these filthy Republicans have money to throw away on a rubber chicken dinner, but they don't have good enough Christian background, Christian upbringing, Christian morals to actually do something worthwhile with their money. They have to flaunt it in front of a suffering nation. I mean, this is let them eat cake material. Let's go to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Well, it's like Mae West once said, a little hush money does a lot of talk.
Ain't it the truth?
That's exactly what it's all about. And he'll buy his way out of whatever they need to buy him out of, if money can do it.
Well, I'm still trying to maintain a little bit of healthy optimism about the possibility of him wearing striped orange jumpsuits, those little orange shower shoes.
Well, did he get a change of venue?
No, not yet. Not that I know of.
And when will that be decided? 5 December?
Quite possibly. Because you got to understand, they, let's see. DeLay got the first judge tossed, and then Earl got the judge tossed, who tossed the judge that DeLay wanted tossed. So the thing's a mess.
Well, you know, they're going to have so much, so many legal machinations down there. You're not going to be able to tell what's going on, period.
Well, let's not be so pessimistic, Jim. This guy's dirty, and like I said, you can't discount the plea deal that Michael Scanlon entered.
Now, what exactly has he done?
Well, he was an associate both of DeLay and K Street King Jack Abramoff.
Well, has he agreed to testify against DeLay?
He pled to an information. That means there's a deal in place. We don't know what the nature of the deal is. But
well,
he was central to DeLay's dirty money raising, and he was central to Abramoff's dirty money raising.
Well, until I can, you know, you can find out what's the nature of the deal, for lack of a better term, will be if he does in fact agree to testify against DeLay, then you know.
Well, the nature of plea agreement language in most instances is something along the lines, Jim, of
turning state's evidence.
No, the nature of the language in the plea agreement is usually something along the lines of agrees to appear and truthfully testify in any matter in which he is called.
Which is tantamount to turning state's evidence.
Well, it is turning state's evidence, but what I'm saying is it doesn't have to be laid out in the plea agreement that he'll roll on Abramoff or he'll roll on DeLay or who he'll roll on. If they decide that they want him to, if he's got information and they want him to roll on DeLay, he will not get his plea deal unless he does. You see what I'm saying?
Well, do you actually believe that any of these people, regardless of what kind of deal they may strike with the district attorney or the prosecuting attorney or whomever, do you think that they would not hesitate to perjure themselves?
I believe that the nature of the very basic nature of a Republican, Jim, no, he won't perjure himself for DeLay, and he won't perjure himself for Abramoff. He will do whatever it takes to get his fat out of the fire. That's, you know, there's that old saying, there's honor among thieves. It doesn't apply when we're talking about these kind of people.
Well, maybe you're right, but I can't help but think of the last scene of Man for All Seasons when Richard Rich went into court to testify against Sir Thomas More. And, of course, after he had given testimony, which was false and perjurious, Sir Thomas More looked at him and said, "What does it profit a man to gain the entire world and lose his soul but for Wales?" Because that was the price for perjury that Cromwell had given him to give him, make him the Attorney General for Wales.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it happened then, it can happen now.
It could, but it's a little more difficult to perjure and get away with it in this day than it was in that.
Well, I'll tell you, Bob, the priesthood of the law is something that I really have failed to cease to understand. And it is a priesthood. And the whole legal system has become so, in my opinion, twisted and driven by money that it's very hard, I think, for justice in many cases to be served.
Well, it's designed that way. It's
$4,200 per person now, you know, that's going to go for something.
Sure.
I mean, they're going to try to buy somebody off.
Well, I don't know that they'll buy anybody off. They'll just buy his reelection. And they're counting on him being acquitted. Because what's most important right now, you got to remember, this is the win at all costs Republican Party, Jim. What they're scared to death about, and they are scared, they're badly scared, is losing the Congress in 2006. And the reason, the very reason that Dick Cheney is showing up at this thing is that he understands that if they lose the Congress in 06, if they lose the House and the Senate, those two thugs in the Bush administration and possibly more will be impeached.
I hope you're right, and I hope that, of course, that is my fondest desire, but, you know, maybe it's always darkest before the dawn, but I'm sure they're going to pull out every stop they possibly can to ensure their safety. However, you know, you got to realize you're not dealing with what I consider to be honorable, normal, reasonable men.
No.
I mean, when you look at what they've done in the past, what Tom DeLay did with HR1, for example, and what Dick Cheney has condoned and directly involved himself in Iraq and in the past, and, you know, the whole crowd, there's no honor among these people.
No, they aren't, and that lack of honor is exactly what will bring them down. You got to, even with the Libby indictment, Jim, all he had to do was go in and tell the truth in front of the grand jury, and he couldn't even do that, and that's what got him busted.
Well, I hope they have not learned that lesson from him.
Well, if Scanlon rolls on DeLay, it's going to have an element of truthfulness about it simply because he was there. I mean, this is one of I've got the quote here somewhere. Back during the Clinton impeachment, he sent an email, Scanlon did, to one of his associates saying, "I hate all this stuff about not kicking a guy when he's down." These are his words. "What you do when a guy is down is you kick him and you stomp him and you beat the life out of him and then you roll him dead down the hill." That's the bloodthirsty monsters that we're dealing with.
Well, you know, chivalry is dead, my friend. It went out a long time ago.
I'm not necessarily talking about chivalry. I'm talking about what goes around coming around.
That's basically the code of chivalry, though. It's not kicking a person when they're down. And, of course, these people have proved to be very unchivalrous and lacking in any type of compassion whatsoever.
Well, yeah, chivalry.
They use anything they possibly can.
Chivalry didn't come to mind when I read that so much as the Marcus of Queensberry rules. And, of course, we all know that, you know, where these people are concerned, they'll gouge your eyes, they'll kidney punch, they'll crotch kick, they'll do anything they possibly can to achieve an advantage.
Well, I mean, you know, this is just basically, in their opinion, it's like the Marxist-Leninist truth. If they believed in any lie, if it were told, in the case of Marxism and Leninism, or in this case, from the Republicans' desires, even if you tell a lie, in their eyes, it will be the truth. You know what I'm saying?
No, I do. I do.
And you know, this whole thing has become very much akin to a doctrinaire situation, not unlike that of the Soviets.
We get a little closer to them every day, but again, this is all going to have to come out. This is all going to have to play out where Scanlon testifying is concerned. It's all going to have to play out in front of a jury, not just a judge. And
well,
it gets decidedly stranger and a little bit more in our favor when it goes in front of a jury.
Well, I hope the jury's honest. I surely do.
Well, I
you
do
know,
too.
Anything in Texas like that, Mr. Kincaid, I just really anything can happen down there.
Oh, but Scanlon pled Fed. This is not a Texas case.
Well,
this is something that's a little bit over the horizon for DeLay yet, and probably has him absolutely sweating bullets.
Well, I hope so. Which brings to mind when I was in Kroger Pharmacy during the 2004 election, and this elderly lady, she must have been all of 80, was talking about George Bush to the pharmacist, and she said, "Well, the only two things that come from Texas are steers and queers, and he ain't no steer." And I thought, Lord have mercy, you told the truth there.
Jim, thanks so much.
Good night.
All right, take care. Let's catch a quick break and then come back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Look, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle. For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Train pound cocaine. Casey Jones, you better watch your speed. Trouble ahead, trouble behind. And know that notion just crossed my mind. This old engine makes it on time. Leaves Central Station about a quarter to nine. Hits River Junction at 17 to at a quarter to ten. You know it's driving again. Driving that train, I'm cocaine. Casey Jones, you better.
All right. Now a little bit of time before the top of the hour. A reminder of the phone numbers if you want to jump in. I don't know. Everybody may be all tryptophaned out. Potent stuff, that turkey tryptophan. Phone number's 877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD-ON. Alternatively, 304-658-3333, and email to bob@headonradio.com. And I hope no one took my comments about we're the normal people too pejoratively. There are some people who despise being considered normal. moving on, just a quick little something to yak about in the short time we have before the break. This just, I think it was either our buddy Victor or our buddy Gene that sent this one along. Lawyer held in car crash fraud ring. Jim mentioned the priesthood of the law, and there's an element of truth in that. And what you're going to hear, if this story gets any legs at all, you'll hear about, you know, well, see that feller, he was abusing them insurance companies, and apparently he was. A lawyer recruited 29 people to stage more than 60 automobile crashes on Los Angeles freeways and collected millions of dollars in bogus insurance claims, based on the arrest of personal injury lawyer Bernard Lawfer, 52, of Huntington Park. He was taken down Tuesday morning at his office on suspicion of leading the ring. Nobody was ever seriously injured in the accidents, and it operated for about 18 months. typically suspects in two cars boxed in a victim's car. The maneuver would cause the victim to rear-end the front car, which was often filled with people in an attempt to get the highest potential insurance payout. So you'll hear about the abuse of the justice system. And you'll hear about that poor, bedraggled insurance company being mistreated by this lawyer. Here's the part you will not hear in the press releases from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. A considerable number of the ring were recruited from a Bible study class. Did you get that? A considerable number of people were recruited from a Bible study class. You will not hear that part. A lot of them were also immigrants and illegal immigrants who will do most anything to keep their families, keep food on their families. But you will not hear about them coming from a Bible study class. I'm just trying to figure out which verse that participating in insurance fraud falls under. Let's see. No, not that one. Can't come to it. Anyway, let's take our top of the hour break. When we come back, a little update on the real sense of compassion with regard to the oil companies. Of someone that the U.S. government tries every day to vilify a little bit more. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Around, you play with horse, you fish your course, but you're a deep.
it's crap, well, come and get it. You're monkey around, you're playing with horse, you're stashing your course, but you're a deep one, baby.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, last hour. Yeah, before the weekend. I'm lucky I don't think that... I have no... Yeah, it's Friday. I've been having trouble since Tuesday. So let's make it a good one. After the reference to what the home university students will be, how they're going to get their hands on their cadaver, and how they're going to, get through literalist law school. Another query from our buddy Kelly. Kelly says, I wonder if the intelligent design folks can tell us if Adam and Eve had belly buttons. Lots of good questions. Or, you know, whether or not, in fact, they did... Sometimes we have to quiet the munchkins. They get a little rowdy and rambunctious. Wouldn't want you to hear that. Now, whether, well, you know the drill. You know, whether the intelligent design people can tell us that it's, whether it's, is it turtles all the way down after you get past the elephant? You know, the Hindu cosmogony? And just to update you a little bit, this fairly fresh, or not fresh, but recently off the printer. We were talking earlier about the Justice Department investigation of delay crony Jack Abramoff. And according to today's Wall Street Journal, you know, the same people that said don't bother reopening the schools in New Orleans, the investigation is broader than previously thought, examining his dealings with four lawmakers, former and current congressional aides, and two former Bush administration officials. Well, the prosecutors in the Public Integrity and Fraud Divisions, they're looking into Abramoff's dealings with former House of Representatives Majority Leader Tom DeLay, ding, 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 Representative Bob Nye of Ohio, Representative John Doolittle of California, and Senator Conrad Burns. You know, every time I hear Conrad Burns, I always think of the Simpsons, Agnes, Montgomery Burns. Excellent. And basically, just to flesh it out, Abramoff is under investigation for the ripoff job he pulled on Indian tribes. And I mentioned the Michael Scanlon emails earlier. Part of the scam that they ran, the tribe in question was the Tigua, I believe. And another tribe already had a casino. The Tigua wanted a casino, and the other tribes were basically buncoed to pony up millions for Abramoff to get on the phone to Ralph Reed of the Christian Coalition, who then would get action alerts out to the people that Michael Scanlon referred to as the religious wackos to oppose the Tigua's casino. And lots of money flowed around. It went to a man who's now a senator in South Carolina, Jim DeMint. He got some of it, and he voted against the casino. Now, here in West Virginia, I think it would be interesting to find out which way Shirley Moran Capito voted on the legislation. Because, you know, she was the number two recipient of Tom DeLay's filthy money in the entire nation. So what they did, Abramoff bilked this Indian tribe out of hundreds of millions of dollars to keep the Tigua from getting their own casino. Then they turned around and convinced the Tigua to hire them to get the casino in. At one point, Scanlon sent another of his fun little emails that said, "We's gonna be rich!" Yeah, he did. Now, for all of those of you of a certain generation, maybe slightly older than my own, not much, anybody who grew up with Dr. Seuss knows what this is a direct parallel of. You've got Abramoff and Scanlon and DeLay out there scamming one group of Indians to oppose a casino and then taking money from a second group of Indians to get the casino approved. Sneetches. Sneetches. You remember the Sneetches. The star-bellied Sneetches and the ones without stars upon thars. This is that. This is the Sneetches in plain and simple form. And I've come to the conclusion, you know, I love to read books. I've come to the conclusion that one of the fundamental flaws in the Republican psyche is the ability to tell satire from straight-up instruction to tell parody from reality. If you remember that article I mentioned a couple of nights ago in the New York Times Magazine, where the Bush administration official said, "You're the reality-based people. We make up our own reality." You know, the last time I knew anybody that was making up their own reality, they were sitting in the desert with a Yaqui Way of Learning by Carlos Castaneda and eating peyote for all they were worth and, you know, making up their own reality. You know, the floating trees, that kind of thing. But that's what they say. We will make up our own reality. And that's what they're doing here, pure and simple. Just making up their own reality. And their reality is that things that were taken as satire, the Sneetches, you know, little object lessons, or say, for instance, Dr. Strangelove, the wonderful movie that we're fond of here, that thing is a black comedy. The Republicans look at it and think it's a how-to manual. The same thing goes for Catch-22. A very, very acerbic commentary on the horrors of war, even a good one like World War II. They look at it and see the fraud and the bunko and the bilking going on in Milo Minderbinder's M&M Enterprises, if you've read the book, and I'm sure many of you have. And they don't see that as a hilarious example of fraud, waste, and abuse within the military procurement system. They see that as a way of getting stuff done, by Jiminy. And I kind of hate it because it takes so much fun out of so many things. You got Abramoff, Scanlon, and DeLay setting themselves up as the funny little guy with the little beard and mustache and the machine and the Sneetches. And we've got the entire Iraq war run on the principles set forth in Catch-22. It's depressing sometimes, honest to God, it really is. We'll take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, An F-4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Okie dokie. Okay, the gang over in the Hartman chat room, Peter and company, heard from Peter, have decided that what happens to you after the turkey kicks in, the narcotic effect of Thanksgiving afternoon and evening. That's the butterball syndrome. That's good. That's good. That sounds like a some sort of a movie with a conspiracy theory involved. And we've heard from another new listener, Joel, our friend Joel, said, I checked the show out, we met the other night, he said, I checked the show out when I got back up to Cleveland. Since then, I've turned several friends onto your webcast. Keep it up, man. I will. I'll try. And hope we'll hear from you frequently, and Maybe even via telephone sometime. You never know. You know, at this rate, you know, I'm willing to grow this show one listener at a time, two listeners at a time, and at that rate, I'll be surpassing Rush in about 5 million years. So cool. Nah, I kid. It's great. It's great to have everybody on board, and like I said. Nice of the guys over at DU to list the show on their listen live links on the main page. It's most excellent, dude. Okay, I promised a little something about a man who is, at this juncture, considering how little we hear about Osama bin Laden from the Bush administration, probably the Bush administration's most hated individual. And I'm speaking, of course, of Hugo Chavez. You know, we've heard more about what an evil man Hugo Chavez is out of the administration than we've even heard about Osama for years. Now, I guess Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid gave an interview with a Las Vegas TV station or something in the last day or so, and Harry said he thinks Osama is dead. Yeah, he thinks maybe the earthquake got him, or that he's trapped in a closed-off cave in Pakistan or something. I get, yeah, that would be nice. But the problem with Al Qaeda is that you can kill bin Laden all day long. It's not going to stop them. That's why what we did in Afghanistan and God knows Iraq amounts to trying to swat a fly on your picture window with a brick. You wind up with a bigger mess than you had in the first place. I don't know. Is it something that goes on in the Beltway, inside the Beltway in Washington, D.C., that keeps people from being able to realize that you don't swat flies on your picture window with a brick? Or is it just the whole power concept that attaches to having that much troop strength, and boy, you just really want to blow something up? But anyway, Hugo Chavez. President of Venezuela. Now, that man says he's a Christian because he believes Christ was a radical. and that he believes you kind of have to live Christian principles by doing really crazy, outlandish things like taking care of the poor, which he's done. His land reforms in Venezuela have given poor people a little bit of hope, a little patch of ground to maybe scrabble out some food on, for heaven's sakes. But it has, sure as God made little green apples, angered the money. It has angered the oil companies. It has angered the landed gentry in Venezuela. And it has angered beyond all comprehension the gang of thugs up at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. To the point that, well, the U.S. State Department has announced... back up. Spain agreed to build some coastal patrol watercraft for Venezuela for purposes of cutting back on the drug trade, because, you know, they do share a common border with Colombia, and there's that problem. And, you know, a couple of aircraft, that kind of, you know, small corvettes, you know, for basically Coast Guard stuff. And Spain, I think it was 1.2 billion euros or something worth that Spain was going to sell to Venezuela. Well, the State Department, under orders from Condoleezza Rice, in between trips to Ferragamo to buy those... $3,000 shoes. The State Department has objected to the sale, claiming that technology aboard the ships that Spain would be selling to Venezuela is proprietary U.S. stuff, and we don't want Venezuela to have it. Now, wait a minute. Whatever happened to the war on drugs? We don't want drugs coming up out of Colombia unless they're drugs that Venezuela can't stop. What, huh? You see, no, this is just plain, mean-spirited spite fence building. Now Spain, in turn, can go and use, like, Israeli components instead of American ones and still sell the items to Venezuela. But we just want to screw with Venezuela a little bit. Why do we want to screw with Venezuela a little bit? Well, maybe because of this. Thousands of low-income Massachusetts residents will receive discounted home heating oil this winter under an agreement signed Tuesday with Venezuela, whose government is a political entity, yada, yada, yada. Citgo Petroleum Corp., a subsidiary of Venezuela's state-owned oil company, will supply oil at 40% below market prices. It will be distributed by two nonprofit organizations, Citizens Energy Corp. and the Massachusetts Energy Consumers Alliance. And the deal was brokered in part by U.S. Representative William Delahunt of Massachusetts, a Democrat. He met with Chavez in August and helped put the deal together. He said his constituents' needs for heating assistance trump any political points the Chavez administration can score. This is a humanitarian gesture, Delahunt said. Now, we had some hearings where the head honchos of all the American oil companies appeared before Congress a couple of weeks ago. Remember that? The one where they were caught lying by Senator Frank Lautenberg of New Jersey? That hearing, remember? And complaints were registered, well, you know, about the price of oil. Oh, we can't do anything about that. That's strictly market forces, sir. And, you know, we're not in charge of the market forces. Market forces are a dynamic that... On the other hand, Venezuela's nationalized oil company said, look, our neighbors in America may be suffering this winter in the particularly cold regions of the country. They need help. Let's help them. People say things like, maybe we should tap the strategic oil reserve to bring the prices down a little bit. What's the Bush administration's answer? Sorry, boys! The well's dry. Gonna have to just get through the winter if you... Well, you know, I mean, it's just poor people after all. And see, this is one of the things that's irritating about the way people talk about Chavez. You know, socialist Chavez. You know, because he had a cup of coffee with Fidel Castro, for God. Oh, he's a commie! The guy's clearly working within a capitalist system and using some socialist doctrine to help out the poorest of the poor. You know, which is in line with the teachings of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. But that doesn't matter because Pat Robertson, who is a real Christian, mind you, is out there calling for him to be assassinated. Now, who is doing more good for poor people in Massachusetts struggling to pay their home heating bills this winter? Pat Robertson, George Bush, or Hugo Chavez? Bonus question. Which one's a Christian? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
Yes, we can bomb most any land. On CNN with marching bands. Pour ourselves an ice cold Coke. Make a war. Tell a joke. Security. Yes, I am American. From Pearl Harbor to Afghanistan. Now Vietnam is history. And brother, that lesson didn't come for free. The politicians, they didn't bleed. Misguided patriots, indeed. 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 Are we an empire? Loose. Loose. Fast. Or can we find a peace that'll last? Is the answer here at home? Home. 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 Or is it buried in a foreign storm?
Welcome back. Downhill to the weekend. Now, for the rest of you, it's probably the weekend already, but you know how it goes. Saturday, Sunday, pulled through. But we'll be back on Monday and kick it up, start it all over again. In the meantime, if you know somebody who isn't yet a member of the Cathedral of Common Sense, as our buddy Stephen in England describes it, by all means, tell them about it and bring them online. Bring them on board. Love to have them. A little update from Iraq for you, just, well, because it's wrong, and you know, sorry, I couldn't find any good news about a school having electricity for 2.5 minutes today. I apologize. Over 180 people were killed in Iraq this past week. Today, an Iraqi was killed and 3 wounded in an explosion targeting an Iraqi police patrol in Samarra. And, of course, there was a little sermonizing going on at the mosques, this being Friday, and us being a little ways behind the times with them by, what, 9, 10, 12, 13 hours, I don't know. But at a Friday sermon at a leading Sunni mosque, Sheikh Mahmoud Mahdi al-Samaradi told worshippers attending Friday prayers at Baghdad's al-Qura Mosque, this is what he said. He said, resistance to the occupier is a natural and legitimate right. Now, this follows on the heels of the agreement that we discussed a couple of nights ago, the one that was brokered in Egypt, that, you know, there were Iraqi government officials there, and it was a 3-way deal between the Kurds and the Sunnis and the Shia, and they declared that it was okay to bump off the Americans. Not okay to kill civilians, not okay to bomb the little kids, but, you know, there was, in the list of what was not okay, killing American soldiers was not on the menu. So, this sermon earlier today in Baghdad, resistance to the occupier is a natural, legitimate right. He went on, the terrorism which was let loose in our country came with the occupation. And remember, we more or less admitted that, didn't we? Remember Rumsfeld and his flypaper theory that by starting the war in Iraq, we were going to attract terrorists to Iraq? Isn't that a tacit admission that there weren't any there to begin with? Of course it is. Of course it is. So I guess Sheikh Mahmoud Mahdi al-Sumadiyeh, he told what he said. The terrorism which was let loose in our country came with the occupation. He agrees with us. And now they are going to fight us until we leave. The Sunnis are going to fight us. The Sunnis, the Shia, the Kurds, they're going to fight us until we leave. Now, are we going to be stubborn and stupid and say, well, we won't leave, so therefore, you know, because we don't want the people who have already died over here to have died in vain by not having more people die? Ooh, wow. That one makes my head hurt. Or will we have the common sense to realize that these people truly do yearn to be free, but the freedom they yearn for is freedom from us? Dunno. That's just me. To the phones, Ed's with us. Hey, Ed, your head on.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right, I guess. How are you?
Pretty good. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Still full.
I know the feeling.
What I want to call you about, I think you're exactly right about Cheney, and they know that if the Democrats get in control of Congress, that they're finished. They'll go down in disgrace more so than what they're in disgrace now, if that's possible. But it follows... The thing that follows up on that is, you know, all we've heard, we're going to smoke them out.
Yeah.
We're going to get them out of them rocks. We're going to get them in them caves. We're going to smoke them out. And now, all of a sudden, the liar in him has showed up again. You know, they're saying after the first year, we're going to bring maybe up to 60,000 home.
Right.
Have you long played that in your mind yet, what's happening there, or at least what I think's happened?
Well, share it with us.
I really believe that they know the election, that's right before the election, right?
Yeah.
And so if they start bringing them home, that's going to make the Republic, they're going to turn it around and use it just like they have all other slime ball issues and say, well, we're bringing the home troops, mission accomplished. No matter which way they go at this, they're going to turn that around and try to win with it. And just as apt as not, as ignorant as the people in that's put him in already, they will put the same Congress back in. And that, I really believe that's the ploy. That's the play they're going
to. Oh, I think, yeah. That makes perfect sense to me, Ed. You know, they'll declare victory shortly before the 2006 elections. Look, they did the same thing with the rush up to the war in the 2002 midterm elections. They did it then. And what was the thing that Rove or Card or one of those freaks said? He said it was something about branding, if I recall, that they wanted to save the congressional vote on the election to make for the good of the Republican brand.
Yeah, but the long term thing is if they do shorten that, you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't in taking positions on this war now. But I'm still overall for bringing it home. But
You have to be.
If they do though, then a lot of our boys are going to still be killed needlessly, because they're going to be left over so short.
Well, and that's the problem with okay, we're going to pull 60,000 out. You either are or you aren't. It's like the old gag about there's no such thing as a little bit pregnant. You're not there's no such thing as being a little bit of an occupier.
Right.
If we come home, we come home. If we're staying, we're staying. I'm glad for 60,000 that might have a chance to survive, but you know what happens to them between now and
they're
when
gonna
they
be, they're going to be a sacrifice for the Bush elections.
Right. And there's no end of the people and especially the military. The Bush administration will use the military any way it sees fit if it thinks that it can accomplish a political goal with it.
Yeah, and no matter who to do what he did shows that. And, you know, it's, I won't live long enough if I was 1 year old to forget what they've done to the boys that's already over there. And, you know, I think I mentioned before the other night, first, because of the bitching and the carrying on everywhere that we were doing, they gave $200 million increase to the veterans for whatever purpose.
Yeah.
And then he turned around and took a total 2% of the total package. That's everything that we had, and that amounted to $600 million.
Right.
And that, you know something? To send people as a living sacrifice or a dead sacrifice or a crippled sacrifice, whatever, and then not finance their medical bills, Bob, we're absolutely a disgrace. That we're a disgrace to the human race.
Because
we put him in there.
Well, you didn't, I didn't, but the American people did, and it is to our shame. You know, you said from the day you were one, if the 1 year olds in Iraq, and this is the other side of that coin, the 1 year olds in Iraq today, the ones we haven't managed to kill. The one-year-olds in Iraq today, Ed, if they live to be 250, they will not live long enough to forget how to hate America.
Yeah, and how to do whatever is necessary to destroy one of us at any time. That's my opinion of it. They're never, if you come into my backyard and kill my grandbabies and my mom and dad and my people, I would do... Then, you know, the thing that took to get them, whatever it is and how bad it is, I would do whatever it took to get my share of them.
Or die trying.
That's exactly right. And they are not going to forget it. And that's the shame of it all. My grandbabies and their kids may be some of the ones that have to suffer over this along with yours.
Exactly. You're exactly right, Ed.
But I just wanted to comment on that slime ball, it does me good to know he's in fear. But Bob, before it's over, all of them's going to be pardoned anyway.
Well, if George the First is any indication, you're absolutely right. That's why there's a call out there for George for W to promise not to pardon any of these crooks.
Yeah,
and he's been as quiet as the grave because that he'll do it. They're that dirty, Ed.
And the stage said if they get enough of the right Supreme Court, if it goes before them, they still got a winner.
Sure, and his daddy pardoned all the Iran-Contra crooks.
Uh-huh.
Ford pardoned Nixon. You know, if you think about it, Nixon, Ford, Reagan, Bush 1, and this Bush, we have not had a Republican president who was not an absolute poster child for political filth in 40 years.
Well, it's like comparing like the other night when we talked about, I got you to tell me one thing, and now I changed it to two because you did manage to tell me something that Nixon done there that was supposedly good. But there's just not much good in them. And, you know, these people that back this kind of thing, as many people in the United States is going against it now, against what they're doing now, and especially these West Virginians and Raleigh County Dirty Dozen, it's just a shame that they don't wake up. And, you know, at some point, you desert the ship.
You're absolutely right. Hey, Ed, you have yourself a great weekend, all right?
Bob, thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you for yours, always.
All righty. Talk to you later.
Bye now. And skip the break. Straight to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good. Good Thanksgiving?
Oh, very good. Very
great.
Good. You know, I suffered from that.
Butterball syndrome.
Yeah.
Works, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it's 5 o'clock and gone. Well, it's time to go to bed now. No, it was real good. It was real good.
Wonderful.
So, it's good to hear from Brother Ed.
Yes, it is.
He sounds good.
And it sounds like he's getting the fire back.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. A little bit regarding Jim's call, you know, I think we have... a lot of reasons to be very optimistic.
Well, I do too.
It's frightening how long everything takes. You know, I mean,
well, Jim's
like the revelations are, you know, now of this and that, I mean, are things that we talked about a year and a half ago.
Well, that's true. You know, Jim often cites that line that the wheels of justice grind exceeding slow, but they also grind exceeding fine.
Yes.
And I think we're going to start seeing some of that fine grind come out of the machine.
Exactly. And, you know, delay has escaped a lot of things, but now the things are piling up. So, I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's what is it? Abramoff?
Abramoff.
Okay, however.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
But like I say, I mean, I read about this 18 months ago.
It's just like the Valerie Plame thing. I was talking about it in what, July of 2003?
Well, exactly. You know, and now all of a sudden it's a big deal.
Right.
And, you know, and why isn't that the little old guy with all the teeth? What the hell is
The little guy with all the teeth?
Yeah. The guy that outed her.
Oh, yeah. Novak?
Yeah, Novak. Doesn't he have a lot of teeth? I don't know.
He's got a mouth.
I can see that big grinning.
Agnes is doing the Novak grin. I get it now.
I don't know. I always think of that, you know. But, you know, another thing in that, too, is, you know, our great American hero, Bob Woodward. My God, come to find, you know. You certainly have changed over the years.
Yeah, well, he's become what?
Deep throat.
Yeah, he is deep throat. You know, right, they named that after a porn movie, and it would appear to be applicable.
My God, I think the Times of London was reporting that his source was, I can't think of the guy's name. Condi Rice's
Stephen Hadley.
Secretary.
Yeah, Stephen Hadley. He's National Security Advisor now.
Okay. Well, he was working, you know, they think that he is Woodward's source. And at that time, he was working for Condi Rice. And a whole bunch of people think it's real hard to think that he would do this without her permission.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Exactly. So, and let's not, you know, forget that Fitzgerald, is it Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
The prosecuting attorney?
Yeah.
Is still out there investigating.
Well, he just...
He has a brand new grand jury, doesn't he?
Yeah, and they're good for a while.
Yes, they are. You know, so, you know, I think Condi's going to be pulled right into this along with, you know... I mean, it's just getting to be... It's almost a joke, you know, between the whole administration.
Was it Merle Haggard that maybe it wasn't some old country song? If we just make it to December, you know, the Bush administration at this point is singing, if we can just finish the term out without winding up in prison,
right?
You know, the social security rape was quietly put to bed a week and a half or so ago. You'll not hear any more about it.
No, you won't.
Most of the Bush administration agenda is going to go equally quietly unto that good night, simply because they're going to spend the next 3 years doing nothing but trying to stay out of prison.
That's exactly right. And during that 3 years, more and more evidence and more scandals and more things are going to come to the forefront.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm very optimistic that these people are in very serious trouble, and rightfully so.
God knows they deserve it.
Yes, they do. They've earned it every day. Fashion way, they earned it.
Yeah. Exactly.
But anyway, the show sounds great, really comes in clear and stuff, and, you know.
I know. Clearer than once upon a time.
Yeah, it does.
All right.
It does.
Hey, Wayne, you have yourself a great weekend. Who do the Steelers play Sunday?
They don't. They play Monday.
Oh, Monday. Yeah.
No, they play.
Yeah. Who? Oh. No, who is it?
The Colts.
Oh, God.
Yes. Ben's supposed to be back.
God, I hope he is. I don't
know. I hope he is, too. Either him or Charlie Batts.
Yeah, because half of Pittsburgh was ready to open a vein last Sunday.
Well, and, you know, I feel sorry for the quarterback a little bit. I think maybe he should go to Cleveland.
You're a cold man, Wayne.
I know.
Take it easy, brother. Have a good weekend.
All right, man.
Later.
Bye.
And Paul in Pittsburgh. Hey, Paul. Yo, Paul. Lost Paul. Lost everybody. Well, you know, these things happen. Let's see. I could read you a poem. No, I'm kidding. No, the last thing that, and it probably, in all honesty, should have been the first thing. Well, wait a minute. Email from our pal Eleni. What are you snickering about, Agnes? Eleni writes, "Hi, Bob. Looks like our fearless leaders are making the most of the few countries in South America that aren't left-leaning." From an article called Dark Army's Secret Bases and Rummy Oh My. It's something we ought to pay attention to. While we're all wrapped up in Iraq, we tend to forget that we've got this ugly little dirty undeclared war going on in South America. Quote, "But there is nothing amusing about an enormous U.S. base less than 120 miles from the Bolivian border or the explosive growth of U.S.-financed mercenary armies that are doing everything from training the military in Paraguay and Ecuador to calling in air attacks against guerrillas in Colombia. Indeed, it is feeling a little like the run-up to the 60s and 70s when Washington-sponsored military dictatorships dominated most of the continent and dark armies ruled the night." See, this is it is driving the Bush administration crazy because Chavez is offering an alternative, and you saw the success of it at Mar del Plata. He's offering an alternative to just bowing down and kissing American butt. And that alternative is something that's a little less hateful, a little less mean than the simplicity of people who are disappeared, like they were in Argentina and Chile. That's what you get when you get Republican-sponsored American-style dictatorships in South America. People who just disappear in the middle of the night. Something like 17,000 people showed up in Columbus, Georgia, last week to protest the School of the Americas, where we teach Latin American dictatorships how to disappear people. There was a woman there whose entire family was disappeared in Guatemala. And it's heartrending. We pay for that. No, but the other story that I probably should have spent more time on the front end, because this is another one like what Wayne describes, this is one that's going to get legs and it'll take forever for anybody to pay attention to it in the mainstream media. Over at bradblog.com, guest blogger David Edwards has the video of a news report from the United Kingdom on this issue of the memorandum that's being suppressed. You know, the one that said that Tony Blair had to talk George Bush out of bombing Al Jazeera, and the mainstream media, to the extent that they've reported it on. Ain't that funny? Who could believe that? Who could believe George Bush would want to bomb Al Jazeera? They've apparently never been to Freeperland or read any of the crap on Free Republic. Or, for that matter, they're also apparently unaware of the fact that, oh, we dropped a 500-pound bomb right smack dab in the middle of the Al Jazeera bureau in Kabul before we were ever even there. We bombed the Al Jazeera bureau in Baghdad, killed a couple of people. We held an Al Jazeera journalist in Guantanamo Bay for the hell of it for 3.5 years before we finally freed him with a, you know, laurel and hardy handshake and a quiet admission. Well, he didn't do anything. They interrogated the man 130 times over the course of 3 years. 125 of those times were interrogation torture sessions where they tried to get him to declare that Al Jazeera was bad. And like I mentioned before, if Al Jazeera was lined up with Al-Qaeda, you wouldn't see those beautiful, beautiful women in impeccably tailored suits and beautifully coiffed hair and perfect makeup sitting there reading the news. They'd be in a burqa, and they would not be on the air. You're right, Agnes. So,
isn't it far easier to knock out the news sources so that everyone's confused and dazed and doesn't know what's going on.
Shoot the messenger. Absolutely. And we've shot a lot of messengers. The attack on the Palestine Hotel, yeah, we did that. And what's more, interestingly, coming out of England, the UK has threatened prosecution against any newspaper that publishes this memo under the Official Secrets Act. Now, typically, they'll charge someone, the government leaker, you know, something, the person who, but, you know, they usually leave the media alone. This time, they're desperate to shut it up, and I'm thankful for, what is his name? He is a member of parliament from Henley. And he says he will gladly publish the memo if someone will put it in his hands, because he says sunlight needs to be shown on that kind of thing. So we'll probably talk about this some on Monday. You study up, I'll study up, we'll have a blast. The show tonight was produced, of course, by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor, engineered the whole setup by Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org manages the stream, as well as managing the archives of this show and a number of other great progressive radio shows, not the least of which the Cup of Joe show, the Mike Malloy show, Randy Rhodes, Tom Hartman. Great stuff. The show was brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And more than anything else, always, 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 RMR. It's all for you.